All right, joining me here now is Dan Eastman. I asked Dan to join me because I call these experts up when I see stories in the news, folks. I see stories in the news, and just so you know how my day works, I spend several hours of the day combing so many articles, trying to find out what is the news story of the day that we need to look at. Who do we need to bring in to explain this to us? So we're covering stories that other people aren't covering. I have said to my radio audience for years, I don't want to do a rip and read. I don't want to go to, you know, whatever popular conservative site there is and pull off six topics and talk about them, and that's my show prep, because that's called being lazy. I want to go out there and talk about not something everybody's talking about, because you ever notice you turn on talk radio and talk TV, and they're pretty much all talking about the same top three or four stories of the day? That's boring. And people say to me, how come I only hear this on your show? Well, that's because most of the hosts are not their own producer. I am my own producer. I have associate producers that do work for me, but I'm the only senior producer of Brandon House Live. I pick the topic. I pick the guest. I call the guest. I book the guest. I do it all myself. Why? Because I want to get to know these people other than just on camera. I want them to get to know me. I want to understand their areas of expertise, their passion, their gifts. And I want them to be comfortable with me off air and on air. I want them to have the freedom to text me and say, there's a very vital story, Brandon. We think you should cover it. I've told them all, you have permission to text me anytime. Don't act like you're being a self-promoter. I want you to contact me anytime there's something out there going on that you think we need to know about and cover. So I spend several hours a day. Sometimes it could be an hour and a half before we go on the air, and I still haven't finished booking half my guests. Because I have not found the stories that I think merit going on the air yet. Yeah, I could do the lazy thing and just find three or four top stories of the day on the major conservative sites and talk about them. But again, boring. Everybody's talking about those three or four top stories today. I want to get to the stories very few people are talking about. Maybe nobody's talking about. Because then we're actually, well, educating people beyond just a bubble, an echo chamber. Well, today I did stumble on one of those articles, and it was at one of my favorite sites, The New American, that we've already talked about tonight. If you go to worldviewreport.com, you'll see it. Worldviewreport.com, you'll find the article right there. Here it is. Supreme Court hears arguments in home equity theft case. And it does bring us back to The New American. Now, I don't know how many of you have heard these stories over the years about somebody losing their entire life savings in their house over some minuscule unpaid bill. Well, here's the case. The Supreme Court is hearing oral arguments in Tyler versus Hennepin County, Minnesota today. The justices will hear from lawyers affiliated with the Pacific Legal Foundation representing Geraldine Tyler, a 94-year-old grandmother, and lawyers representing the county where she used to own a one-bedroom condominium. The facts on the surface are simple. When Tyler fell behind on paying the real estate taxes on her condo, the county sold it. She owed $15,000, including fees, interest, and penalties, and the county sold the condo for $40,000 and kept the balance. Now, folks, how many of you people think that's safe and right? He thinks it's not only unfair, but unconstitutional. She cites to her lawyers both the Fifth Amendment, nor shall property be taken for public use without just compensation, and the Eighth Amendment, no excessive fines be imposed. So I reached out to attorney Dan Eastman. Dan, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hi, Brandon. Thanks for having me on. It's always great to see you, visit.
Absolutely. Dan, what do you think about this case? How do we have any indication of how the court might respond based on any of the questions they were asking the judges were asking?
You know, this is an interesting problem in the United States. We come from a history, if you think about how the United States was created out of colonial experience, the idea of feudalism runs very strong in Europe. Basically what happened after the Roman Empire collapsed about 300 AD, 300 to 400, the strong guys in town became, you know, the kings, because they had the biggest muscles and the meanest friends. And this system of feudalism emerged where It was a good buddy system where if you're the king and you have some friends with muscle, as we say, you give your friends with muscle territories and they get to control that territory. And of course, there are always people, there are human beings living in that territory. And of course, the poor souls at the bottom, the serfs, ended up having to pay the buddies of the king, the barons or knights. And then of course the knights and barons would give their fealty to the king. And this is how this kingdom would emerge. And then it would defend itself against other strong kings. And it was an absolute mess for 1200 years. But at the end of the day, it was the average person who owned nothing and they weren't very happy, okay? So what happens is when you're in a feudal system, you're paying rents upstairs. And you're also in those days, you're agreeing that if the kingdom is invaded, that you'd grab your sword or your spear and you'd go out and help fight and kick out the bad guys. So this whole feudalistic idea is very, very developed in Europe. As a matter of fact, in England, there's a very strong hierarchy. You know, the queen, now the king owns everything, owns all Ireland. And of course, it's allocated out through the barons. And then by the time you're an average UK citizen, of course, you buy a house. But the reality, the international law is that the king owns the land, okay? And when the United States became a place and the states emerged, there's this concept that we would have counties and then municipalities and we'd all chip in and pay the common expenses. And the way they decided to do that, of course, is defaulting back to this feudalist model, where if you own land or a home or a business or a farm, you're going to have to pay taxes based on the value of that property. It's sort of a progressive tax system. Although it's a flat rate, but the more land and more valuable your property, the higher your rate is because it's based on the market value. So taxes are a thing. And, you know, at some level, we want to fund our police departments and fire departments. And if you have garbage service, maybe you want that funded. Of course, maybe there's a public pool or a public library. And of course, you have to have a common council and mayor. So you got to pay for all that. And you divide that all up. But that's your local services. And the way they do it is to tax the property. Well, there's two theories that emerged. One is that the government owns the land in your house and you pay rent to live there, which is your property tax. And if you don't pay it, we're going to take your house, kick you out, sell the property, put it in the public fisc. And you're gone. You didn't pay your fealty dues there. The other states, like Wisconsin, we look at that as a lien. It's a lien theory state where your mortgage is a lien on your property because you own the property, and so is your local tax bill. So in most states, when you don't pay your property taxes, they can assess the taxes, and at some point there's a sheriff's sale, and they sell your house out from under you, pay off the taxes and expenses, and you get to keep what's left, and that's an indication that you actually owned the property and you had liens against it. But there's I think like 12 states, like I was reading that article and it was like 12 states who really take the position that you don't own anything and you don't know it, but you don't own it. You don't
pay those
taxes.
By the way, that would be Alabama, for those who want to know. Yeah. Alabama, Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Nebraska, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, and South Dakota. So Nebraska, for example, the lien is sold to investors, hoping the homeowner doesn't pay the back taxes by a due date, at which time the property belongs to them. Yeah. Most people find a way to pay those taxes long before they lose their property and the investor is out his bet that they won't. But in this woman's case, she didn't have the money. And the fees, penalties, and other costs mounted. Listen to this, folks. Her original $2,300 real estate tax bill. So it was $2,300 for this poor lady who's now 94. Her original bill, $2,300, escalated to $15,000. If she couldn't pay the $2,300, she certainly couldn't pay the $15,000. She now lives in an assisted living facility. So this Supreme Court case is going to try to answer two questions. One, can the state keep the surplus? And two, is the $25,000 the state kept an excessive fine? Again, going back to the Fourth and Eighth Amendments. Any indication on what was said by the courts today, their questions?
Well, I would think that those are the two issues at bar, and those are the issues that will be argued. But there is this idea of eminent domain. If the government wants to take your property for public good, there's limits to public eminent domain. If they want to build a highway and your house is in there, you know, and you don't get to negotiated settlement, they can take your house, but they have to pay you the fair market value. They can't just steal your house. And the same thing with the success of fines. This is a real interesting problem because the story says this woman is now in assisted living. And my sense is there's a program called Title 19, which pays for assisted living and nursing home care for elderly who have no money. So the question is, if the state's coming in and taking her house and taking all her money away, then she ends up on Title 19, which is basically paid for by the taxpayers. So you got one government takes the money, puts it in the trust, you know, the public fund, and pays for a new dump truck. And you get other taxpayers on the other pocket in your jeans, you're paying to support this woman in her elder dotage, basically on Title 19. So it's really bad public policy, but I think the court should clarify who owns the house, who owns the land. If the government takes it, do they own it and you're paying them rent in some sort of a feudal system? Or do you own your house and, you know, they sell your house, the taxes are paid and you get what's left? I live in a state where you get what's left, and I was not aware that there were states who took all of your money, because that's a penalty. That's a penalty for not paying taxes versus a lien on your property to settle taxes. That's a penalty. And I think they probably will prevail. And I think the U.S. Supreme Court should make this clear, because you have a split in the states. And if you're going to move to, you know, one of these states and you weren't aware of that and fell on hard times, it could wipe you out.
Indeed, it could. And apparently, she isn't the only rare case. They found out that in Oakland County, Michigan, there's a person there lost her home. She failed to pay her real estate taxes. She owed the county $900. That grew to $22,642 after fees, penalties, and other costs were added. Oakland sold her home for more than $300,000 and kept the difference. So the county sold her home for over $300,000, kept the difference, and she only owed what grew to be $22,642. So they kept, you know, $278,000.
Well, there's a theory in law of unconscionability, that this is unconscionable. It's one thing, you know, to sell someone a house and pay the taxes and you give them 10 grand, whatever's left over. It's another thing when the city is profiting, because, you know, when
the city's profiting from theft. You know why they throw people in prison at the local, state, and federal level a lot of the times? Because the local politicians don't like the competition from the other thieves.
Well, it could very well be. It's a very frustrating thing for we the people. And I think the people have to start thinking about, we have had a very, very spoiled existence since the 1950s in the United States. Other than the turbulence of the 1960s, which was a bizarre situation in and of itself, people are pretty well coddled and they're on autopilot. I'm going to do something tomorrow on my show about the Stockholm Syndrome, and also this concept of just basic normalcy bias, where things start to go to pieces in a handbasket and nobody wants to.
It's kind of the Overton window, right?
Yeah. You just don't want to believe it. So you just ignore it and you whistle past the graveyard until all of a sudden somebody's coming in here because you didn't do something and they take your house. That's not a good place to be. We really need to reassess how we have government in this country.
Indeed.
Because you're seeing the same oppressive stuff. Cities, counties, states, let me tell you. And even at the federal level. I mean, man, the government has become a thing unto itself.
Indeed. Let me show this here, folks. Look at this website, my channel, WVWTV.com, WVWTV.com. You'll see a lot of shows here. We got Trevor Loudon every day. Trevor's got his own show, 30 minutes over there, New American TV. And here we go, Mr. Dan Eastman with the Eastman Financial Report. Every day he's over there, 30 minutes, live and on demand. And he talked today about how the commodities market work, how commodities markets work. Again, this is a guy breaking down complex topics in layman terms we can all understand. He's a great guy. He's a great American. He's a financial guy. He's a financial expert. He's an attorney. He's a constitutionalist. He's been inside local and state government, and he's bringing it to bear for us to understand, because he knows we better be vigilant or we're going to lose our freedoms. And I hope you'll go over to WVWTV.com and catch his daily show on demand there every day, 30 minutes a day. Look, folks, he's putting a lot of time and effort into it. Share it with your family and friends. You don't want to watch Fox anymore. That's gone to the toilet. So you got a lot of hours to watch a lot of stuff. WVWTV.com, Dan Eastman's show is right over there for you to download on your when you're not watching Lindell TV, right? Right, Dan?
Right, absolutely. Well, thank you very much. It's always great to visit with you, and I really am trying to help explain the mysteries of the financial world so that Americans can understand what's happening.
Well,
to
you're
them.
Doing a fabulous job. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
Dan
Bye.
Eastman checking in, folks. Check out his show there, wvwtv.com.